When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Manchester's indie rock and roll station, XS Manchester.
The XS Manchester Long Player, an iconic album in full with Jim Salverson.
XS Manchester.
Hello, I'm Jim, and this is the XS Long Player. Conversations I've had with the people behind some of the most classic indie albums of all time. Today, we are talking Mosley Shoals with Steve Craddock, Ocean Colour Scene's second album and a true Britpop classic. I recorded this in the spring of 2021 when Mosley Shoals was celebrating its 25th anniversary. So there's a kind of reflective feel about this album as Steve looks back and remembers its recording. But when we're talking about classic indie albums, this surely has to be up there in most lists. I remember Q Magazine voted it the 33rd greatest album of all time. I mean, I say I remember. I looked it up and found out that was the fact. In 1998, the 33rd greatest album of all time, which is a pretty weighty accolade, isn't it? Unbelievably, in terms of chart success, it only got to number 2 in the album charts. It was actually beaten by Take That's Greatest Hits, which, I'll be honest with you, probably won't be an album I do in the future on the XS Manchester Long Player. If it's been a while since you've listened to Mosley Shoals, before you click play on this podcast, you might want to go back and listen to the album right the way through. Or certainly when you have listened to this podcast, maybe it'll inspire you to go and listen to the album from beginning to end, because it is an absolute belter. Now, this interview originally was broadcast on XS Manchester as part of a show we do every single Thursday night at 8 o'clock, picking another classic album and playing it from beginning to end with insight from the people that made it. And that's why I spoke to Steve Craddock. So let's get started. Today's XS Manchester Long Player is Mosley Shoals' Ocean Colour Scene's second album with guitarist Steve Craddock.
How you doing, Steve?
Yeah, great, thank you.
Does it feel like a quarter of a decade ago that you made this album?
I guess it does, yeah. It does and it doesn't.
God, in what way? I'm sure it's like, when you look back, it's kind of hazy memories. But I mean, the weird thing about music is it's there forever, isn't it? It's like, you can listen to something that was made 25 years ago for the very first time yesterday, if that makes sense.
It does make sense and it doesn't make sense. It's like that about everything, isn't it, really? Because I can still remember being in the small studio where we did it, and yet I can still appreciate that it was that long ago. Yeah, it's bizarre. And thankfully, we're all around still to enjoy that.
When was the last time you reckon you sat down and listened to the whole of Mosley Shoals in a row?
Probably the week after it was released.
Wow.
I don't really... I mean, I go back and listen to tracks isolated for when we go out on the road. I make sure that I try and get into where we were when we recorded it. But I think it's a bit weird sitting and listening to your own albums. So, yeah, it would have been when we finished it, we'd have listened to it back and sort of sealed it and signed it off, you know.
Well, it's a brilliant album. It's full of some absolutely massive tunes, so we're going to play one now. This is Day We Caught the Train from that iconic Ocean Colour Scene album, XS Manchester. So the song we're going to be playing next from Mosley Shoals, Steve, is The Circle.
Yeah.
What do you remember about recording and writing this tune?
Me and Simon demoed that song. We had this tiny little room at Bob Lamb's studio in King's Heath. And Bob Lamb was the man who was responsible for producing the UB40's signing off album. So we kind of had the vibe how it was going to sound. But what was interesting about the actual session for that is we recorded a backing track for it. And on that day where it was completed, Paul Weller was down in London doing a session. I think it was for GLR or something, like Gary Crowley's station. And me and Paul drove up from London to Birmingham. He plays guitar on it. He plays the guitar main riff on it. And when we got there, there was a guy from MCA called John Walsh who signed us on that night, funnily enough. So he was in the studio. It was only a really small control room. And me and Paul set up both the guitars, and we were literally face-to-face because there was that little room. And we recorded it in one take, the both electric guitar parts, and they both went down live. And then John Walsh, A&R guy, I think he sort of shit himself, really. He was like, he couldn't believe that Paul was in this sort of crappy little studio up in Birmingham. It was definitely an event for everyone, you know, for Paul, for ourselves. And it was a great evening of music. And he was kind of taken away by the whole thing, I think, and signed us.
Did it feel special when you were in the studio recording that stuff? Did it feel like something big was going to happen?
It felt... I don't know, really. Because, as I say, it wasn't until that night that we sort of even knew that we had a deal for it. But it felt... We were definitely focused on what our sound was.
Mm.
So I would like to say humbly that we did know that something special was happening. But again, it could have, you know, it could have gone out and sold three copies, and but it would have still felt special to us.
It didn't sell three copies. It 92 weeks in the album charts in the end, an absolutely phenomenal success. Do you think now we're 25 years down the line, do you think you appreciated that success at the time?
At the time, I think it's baffling, really. And also what's good is you don't have time to collate it all. You just crack on to the next one. Because I think... We even had the audacity to release a B-side album after Moseley Shoals and before Marching Already, which is kind of, to think that could even be a thing, I think it surprises me anyway. But that's what we did.
So the next track we're going to play off this album is You've Got It Bad, Steve, which is one of the ones you've picked to highlight.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I really love that tune because it's kind of like a non-song song, if that makes sense. It was released as I think it got to number 9 in the charts when we played it on Top of the Pops. We put a white label of that out first before Riverboat. And then after Riverboat, we had an argument with the label, actually. They were saying that it's not commercial enough.
Mm.
But we were big Hendrix fans, you know, and it didn't have to be a pretty pop song. It was, you know, and we thought that just the track on its own. And luckily, we were proved right, actually, that the fact it charted and did all right. Luckily, I guess. Yeah, and it's interesting because it came from, actually, Brendan Lynch gave us like a loop of, there was a 15-minute version or something of Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys, and we picked out like a couple of two-bar loop thing from that, which is the part where, I don't know if you know that 15-minute version of it, but it's a part where it all slows down.
Right.
So we took that and looped it, and I played the drums on it, and I played and played and played. I think it was about 15 minutes long originally. So it came by that, really, by just sort of like a mental sort of stone jam. When we play it live, it still has that energy. I think it's a great track.
You mentioned you had a disagreement with the record company about what went out as a single. Was that a common theme between, sort of a battle between yourselves and the record execs? Because I know One for the Road off this album was going to be a single, and that got pulled because you wanted to focus up on the next album. So was it an ongoing battle of what would be commercially successful and how the band wanted to present themselves?
No, not at all. No, we had a fantastic label, MCA. All the people who worked at MCA we got on great with. In fact, the lady who plugged us, Sally Edwards, is now my wife.
All right.
And we've been married like 22 years now. But at the time, it was only that one little thing where they were, and I can kind of see where they were coming from. You know, they were saying, you've done all right with Riverboat. Let's just go to I think they wanted the Circle next. And we sort of stuck out for You've Got It Bad. And then the Circle. And then I think it was Day We Caught the Train. And that was the reason why One for the Road wasn't released, is because we'd had four singles off it.
Mm.
And we thought it was milking it a bit, really, going for a fifth single. It's a bit Mariah Carey land, isn't it?
The final track on this album is Get Away. For you, is that a highlight? Is that a kind of a crescendo to finishing off the album?
Well, I think it's the finest track that we've recorded and mixed and produced as the band, you know. I think that it depicts all our influences and more. We recorded it all. It was all recorded as it was, live, on 16 track, and we recorded it ourselves. And Brendan Lynch and Max Hayes, actually, who they produced the album, they came up and mixed it, but they mixed it into like splice cut up technique where they would mix sort of say four bars at a time or a bar at a time. It still sounds like space age music to me. I think it defines what we are as a group still to this day.
Why did it end up as the last track on the album then? Because, I mean, I wouldn't say you're burying a track by putting it right at the end of an album, but in general, kind of the big hitters, the songs that are the band's favourites, tend to be in that sort of 1-6 section.
Yeah, but we had enough good songs on the album, and it was about going out with a bang, really. I mean, if you look at the Roses album, which I'm thinking of bands that we were into, the Roses sort of ended on Resurrection, and the Lars ended with Looking Glass.
Yeah.
So I think, even though that was 3-4 years before our album, that was kind of, we thought that was a good template to go with. That's kind of our Looking Glass and Resurrection, maybe.
Now you look back on it, 25 years on, how do you look back on it? Would you change anything about the album? Is it just absolutely perfect to you? Do you listen to some bits and go, oh, I just changed the guitar in that, or changed the drums in that?
I wouldn't change anything. I think it's still a beautiful album. I think that, you know, the front cover, great. Not only does it say where we were at that time, it's managed, luckily, it's managed to survive this long. And I wouldn't change it all. And I wouldn't listen to it either, you know. Like I said before, I think that's a bit weird. But I think it's perfect, you know, and I think it's a beautiful album still. Great, very proud of it.
Steve, that's absolutely brilliant. It's been a pleasure chatting Mosley Shoals with you. So thank you very much for your time on Excess Manchester.
Bless you. Thanks, man. Nice one.
The Excess Manchester Long Player, an iconic album in full with Jim Salverson.
Excess Manchester.
Thank you very much for listening to the Excess Long Player. Classic album conversations with the people who helped make those albums. There's a load more to go at in this series, so make sure you listen to the other episodes. Talking Pills and Thrills and Belly Aches, Happy Mondays, Cortina, St. Jude, Mosley Shoals, Ocean Colour Scene, Hour of the Wildebeest, Damon Goff and Kaiser Chiefs Employment. That's season one. Season two is coming soon. And if you want to get a notification as soon as that podcast series is up, click follow now and we'll send you a note as soon as season two is available. Plus, if you know someone who would love this podcast, maybe we've covered one of their favourite albums, make sure you tell your mates about it. And if you want me to do a specific album with a specific person, then why not get in touch? You can find me on Twitter at Mr_JimBob. But I'll see you next time for the next Excess Long Player.
Manchester's indie rock and roll station, Excess Manchester.